to have you around with us in church. And I'm always about those who have joined us online. It's beautiful, sweet to have you there with us today. We're happy today. Today is a great day. Great that the Lord has made. We'll be blessed in His presence. We'll rejoice in His presence in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, God, for this time in your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for light by your spirit. Thank you because our hearts are open. You blessed us today mightily. We are transformed. We are changed. We are moved into another level. We are changed from glory to glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for equipping us with tools for success for our lives. Tools equipping us with your word and your spirit, Lord, so that we go out and get victories for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. God's people said, amen, amen, hallelujah. You may please be seated. Last week I began to talk to you about the fact that God believes in you. The Father believes in you. You see, it is not just you who believe in the Father, but the Father also believes in you. The Father believes in you. I began to show you that last week. It's easier to believe in a God who believes in you. I mean, I'm trying to believe in somebody who doesn't believe in me. And it's difficult. But when you begin to see that God believes in you, it's easier for you to release yourself and just flow with Him. Hallelujah. And to begin to see victories in your life. You begin to see victories in your life because you believe, you believe that He also believes in you. Many times we find we want to tackle issues and challenges, but we think we are alone. We think we are trying. We want to try, but you're not going to try. You're not trying. Father believes in you, and you're well able to overcome the issues in front of you. Hallelujah. And we said last week we did this. We said, come on, it's not just about God loving you. He loves you, but He also believes in you. Because we've come to say, God loves me. I agree. I know. I see the fact that God loves me. But you also have to see the fact that God believes in you. He believes in you beyond loving you. And so we took off from Galatians chapter number 2. Today I just want to say a thing or two, add a scripture or two, show you more light, and seal this stuff up today. We looked at Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. He loves you and He believes in you. This will help you release your faith as you go out, as you step out. Release your faith. Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He says, the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I am, in essence, I'm going in, I'm doing stuff. But I'm not just doing this stuff because I want to do this stuff. I'm not doing this stuff because I think I'm able to do this stuff. I'm doing this stuff because He thinks I'm able to do them. I live by the faith of the Son of Man, the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So He saw something. He said, you can do it. So the life you see me live in the flesh, I live by His faith, not by my faith. I don't believe I can do it because I look at myself and say, I can do it. No, He said, I can do it. He put this part in front of me and said, you can take that part. So I said, all right, I'm doing it. So you are seeing me doing it. You are seeing me getting victories. Come on. You see me win. I'm winning. And you're like, Paul is so much. Paul is just too much. Paul says, no. No. This life you see me live in the flesh,
I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's by his faith. I'm doing it by his faith. I've been bubbling with Galatians 2:20 for years. By his faith. I live by the faith of his, not by, I don't have some faith coming out from somewhere inside of me. It is by his faith. I'm not doing it because I can do it. I'm doing it because he said I can do it. He believed in me and said, go. Come, be an apostle to the Gentiles. And preach my word to kings and everybody around. Like, me? Alright. So I'm doing it. So Paul goes on. He does it. I preach. People came. It's just happening. And then we stand and say, boy, Paul is just so much. Paul says, no, you don't understand. It is by his faith I'm living. And so we too get a vital revelation for our lives. We can go by the faith of God. The faith of the Son of God. When Jesus Christ died for you and laid a hold of you, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he went to the cross in faith. You know, the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You see? So Jesus died in faith. He died believing. He had to believe. He had to use faith too. He had faith that someday you and I would come to see him, know him, and do the things he designed for us to do. Because when he died, we didn't care. How was he going to know that someday you and I will pick up and begin to do the things he wants us to do? It was a matter of faith for him. He saw you and said, you can do this stuff. So I'm willing to risk my life for you. So let me put it this. This is the way I want to put it today. Jesus took a bet on you. Jesus bet on you. When he got to the cross, when he went to the cross, he took a bet. He said, I'm going to bet my life. He said, I'm going to bet my life that kings is a shining star. So it's now left for him to also put a bet on himself. You know, so it's good now left for you to bet on yourself. But many a time we don't bet on ourselves. You know what we do? We bet against ourselves. So you say, just imagine. Okay, remember the story I told you last week of this guy. His father is a trainer. He can train this young man. This guy is 16, lightweight. He says, all right, you've been training him since he was 5. Now the boy is 16. He says, all right, I just enrolled you, registered you for this boxing competition and all that stuff. You see? And then people are betting. The boy is saying, daddy, me, boy. He says, I believe you can do it. See, I believe in you. Now it's time for the boy to also come on, believe in himself. Now let's go to bet. So the father says, all right, I'm going to bet on you. Then imagine the boy takes his 1,000 naira savings. Then he looks at the other guy. See, that guy get big chest. That guy will beat me. He said, I bet on that guy. Come on. He's betting against himself. Many a times, you and I bet against ourselves. We go out and bet against ourselves. We believe the people who say we cannot. We believe the people who say we are failures. It always amazes me how believers are quick to believe people who say they are failures. Say, you are doomed and you will never rise up to amount to anything because the place you are from, your family and all that, you say, oh, I say there's nothing that can stop you. You say, what this pastor said. You see, you don't believe. You better get yourself. I'm telling you, you can make it. And you say, no, I can't. God says you can. And we need to be like Mary. You see, how this thing happened. It was not an effort on her part. Because she says, God says, you know, he says, of all the ladies, 17, 18, she was about 17, 18, of all the ladies on God's green earth, me. Come on, me. You chose me. He says, yeah. He says, you will do all this stuff, you give better charge than Jesus, Manuel, blah, blah, blah. Whoop. And she says, okay. Now, I don't know. But for you to fly, wings, angel flying everywhere. Are you sure you're not in the wrong house? This is Mary. Mary, me. Are you sure? He says, it's you. Don't be afraid.
You know that my guy, that Joseph guy, that this guy is a carpenter.
He says, no problem, it's you. He says, all right. He says, finally, be it unto me according to your word. It's going to happen, not because I think I can make it work, but because you said so. You chose to bet on me. And so, I too will bet on myself. It becomes easier when we begin to believe in God who believes in us. We begin to see victories in our lives when we begin to believe in the God who believes in us. And it's easier for us to believe in the God who believes in us than to believe in the God who does not believe in us and does not care about us. Because we come from the place where we say he loves you. And it's easy if I come today and say God loves you. You say, I know that part. That part is easy. But God believes in you. You're like, he loves me, but he doesn't believe anything about me. He doesn't care. You see? And so, you understand. You see now, God, he loves me. And so, all I need to do is agree, is to believe in his belief. Come on. I believe in his belief. I believe I can do it. Not because I have some skills to do it, because God says I can do it. So I say like Mary, be it unto me to your word. That's what she came to. Be it unto me. So we see it happen in the life of Mary. She really conceived by the Holy Spirit and gave us Jesus Christ. If you ask her, she'll say, Mary too will say, I did it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Come on. It's his faith. It's not my faith. It's his faith. He believed in me. He chose me. So, I go out and I'm fighting in that ring. And I'm fighting that ring. And that guy is giving me blows. Pew, pew, pew. And finally I'm saying, but my father said I can do it. My father said I can beat this guy. And guess what the father is doing? Guess what Jesus is doing? All right, let me show you that. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Come on, I'm going to show you. Shalabaha. You remember the story I told you last week also of Peter? Are there people in church today? Remember the story of Peter and how Peter says, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to deny you. Everybody can run away, but me, I'm going to be here standing firm. And Jesus says, you deny me. And Jesus says, listen. He said, Peter, Simon, he said, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. He said, but I prayed for you, that your faith will not fail. He said, when you have converted, strengthen your brethren. He said, I see you. You're going to fail just now. But I believe you turn around again. And you will be a source of strength to many. He says, I prayed for you. I just want you to take note of that. I prayed for you. So if you go to Romans chapter number 8, verse number 33. Okay, can you hold your place? Just hold. Come on, look at me. Now, we remember the illustration I was coming from, the boxing ring. So I'm in that ring, and I'm fighting this giant, this guy. And this is just, to win the championship, I need to beat like 8 people. This is the first guy. And I'm fighting this guy. And I'm feeling this guy is beating me, blah, blah. But my father said I can. So I begin to believe that I can, because he believes. I don't believe. I look at the guy, I feel he will beat me. This guy will defeat me, but he said I can defeat that guy. And so I begin to believe. And I'm fighting this guy, and he's tough. And he's tough. And I'm believing, and I'm standing strong. And I said, Justin, I said, where is the father? Where is he? He now went away on holidays, doing nothing. I just said, go there, know yourself. No, I want to show you what he's doing. What is Jesus doing now? Verse number 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Guess what he's doing right now? He's making intercession for you.
come on.
He's still there. Right now, he did not make intercession in the past. He made intercession. Who makes intercession for us? Right now, the right hand of the Father. Jesus is praying for you today.
Come on. I don't know about this guy. I don't know. I was preaching to what pastor guy. Are you in church?
He's praying for you. And you are here giving up.
So giving up. When he was praying for Peter, he was somewhere here, Gethsemane there, praying, would strengthen Peter, let him get out. Now, guess what? Died, rose again, is in heaven, could actually be chillaxing somewhere. But he says, I believe so much in you. He says, I'm praying for you. Bible says, he's making intercession for us right now. So Jesus is making intercession for you while you are busy thinking, I can't make it. Nothing to my life. Is he wasting his time? Come on, someone. Jesus said he's wasting his time. Come on. He believes in you. He's willing to make intercession for you because he believes you can do it. He believes that every obstacle in front of you, those mountains in front of you, can scale them, come out on the other side victorious. He believes. So he sits back. He could actually just relax in his throne and said, I'm sitting on my throne, you know. The Jesus guy, I died, I rose again, I'm cool. But he says, I believe in you. He says, I believe in Antonia. So he says, Antonia is going forward. Yes, she's excelling. Yes, she's a city on a hill. She cannot be hid in this life. In her life, before, in her light, many will see lights. This isn't enough concerning Antonia. And guess what? Antonia is here saying, I don't know what's happening. I can't.
But these things are just too much for me. And he's saying, they're not too much for her. She can make it.
You see,
he believes in you. He says, by my blood. Remember again, he has equipped you. He has equipped you, giving you all that you require. He says, my blood is sufficient. She'll make it now. I shed my blood for her now. She'll make it. I gave her my spirit. Woo, Holy Ghost on that lady now. Now you, I say, all these things are just too much. And now you are crying. You go, neighbor. I'm going through a lot. You want to cry. Say, sometimes you should just let it out. You cry. Let it out. You cry. Then you cry. You're like, neighbor, my life is a mess. He says, I believe you can make it. I believe that by my power you can fix all those mess in your life. Yeah. That you are living in fear. Shaking. And he's praying for you. Because he believes in you. He takes his time to pray for you. He calls your name. He's making intercession for us, the Bible says. He says, I believe. So I'm praying for you. You see. It's time we rise and begin to believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For believing in me. In before you begin to say, come on, he knows you. Say, I messed up. Oh, I blew it. Another one, come on. I messed up. I blew it. Come on. You look like, I know. But I believe that you'll come out of that mess up. I believe that blowing it. You'll come out of that blow it. Say, I all made a mistake. He said, no problem. So I believe. I'm praying for you. You see, come on. I messed up. See, my life is just messed up. You don't understand my life. I say, God has a great plan for you. I say, you don't understand my life. You don't understand what, you don't know what I did. What you did. You are in Christ Jesus now. He called you. He's up there making his intercession for you because he believed. You are here saying, it's all over. When you say it's all over, then it's all over. Because he chose to bet on you. There's somebody you should know. I think you all know there's somebody who is betting against you. Come on. There's somebody who is betting against you, and that's the devil. In case you don't know. He's against you. He says you're going to fail. He says you're going to flop. He says your background will cause you to fail. He said because of what happened within your parents, everything. He says then the background is so bad. Now you two sit and say, the background is so bad. I don't have any, nothing. Look at my family. There's nothing. So
You see? He says, all right, send it off. You see? And he begins to tell you to believe. Believe in the background. Is that where your faith ought to be? Your background. Your faith ought to be, say, who is the father? So you see, you begin to believe all of that. Then he says, say, look at your life. Say, look at your life. You too begin to look at your life very well. It's you after that one, you didn't, you know what did you do? You look at your life, then you now say, I'm finished. You see? Because he's betting against you not to come out. He doesn't want you to come out of that mess. He doesn't want you to come out of that issue. He wants the giant to finish you. He says, wait, stop. He says, wait, stop. Look at the giant very well. Look at it. This obstacle, does it look like the one you can come out of? If your father had money now, you have a chance. Look at the obstacle. The bill is too much. You can't come out of it. You too, you now say, let me look. Looka. Lookuma. You now begin to look very well. Look very well. The Bible says, look unto Jesus. You see. Looking unto Jesus. Guess what? He's the author and the finisher of what? Our faith. Do you see that in this matter of your faith, you are not involved? It's there. He's the author and finisher. You know, people just, Christianity has come to the point where they talk about our faith. They don't understand the power of those things. He says he's the author and finisher. It means that there was nothing left to you. He did it all. Author and finisher. So, you are just believing in his belief. That's what I'm trying to show you. That's what you are doing. You're not doing anything. And when we talk about the new covenant, let me just drop this because some of you, I really want you to get this truth. When we talk about the new covenant, you know you are not in the middle, you're not in the covenant, you're not causing any covenant with anybody. You are entering into the covenant between the Son and the Father. The covenant is between the Father and the Son, not you. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, you become a part of the covenant. It is his blood that is the blood of the new covenant, not your blood. It is his blood that he presents to the Father, not your blood. So when it comes to the covenant, this author and finisher of your faith, maybe I just spend some time, show you some time later and I'll do that. You're not involved. He cut a covenant to the Father and he collected power, authority and dominion from the Father. All you do is, I believe in you. Then you enter into it. You're not a part of the covenant. So you can't even mess it up. You can't mess it up so much that Jesus says, all right, the power source of this new covenant, I won't leave it around here. The power source of this covenant is going to heaven. So, he is the power source. In my name, we cast out demons. Remember, not in your name. So, he says, all right, I am the power source. Everything is mine now. You see, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, you go. So, I'm the power source. But now, guess what the power source is doing? It takes off. I ascended to heaven. I went to sit down there. So now we can say, you can't spoil anything. You can't spoil this matter. Because the source is up there in heaven. It's not here. Are you in church? I'm going to give it up to the cold. You're looking at me. Hey, let me preach to the guy who is here. You see? So he goes to heaven. So he said, they went to steal our transformer. They can't steal your transformer. Your transformer is in heaven. He said, you are dead and your life is hid in Christ with God. So how do you get to somebody who is in Christ with God? He's far above and they can't reach him. So if they must touch you, come on. They must touch him first. Until we wake up to that revelation, the church will fail. See, they just thought they came to get us. They can't get you. It's not possible. Because they must touch him first. It's him, not you. If you must, you know, you say the story of Samson that you people buy into is that the power source was in his hair. You can cut my hair. You can even take my Bible and burn it. Kalabose. You can take my Bible and burn it. My power source is not in my Bible. It was one of you that opened Bible and sleep on top of it. Open Bible to Psalm 91 and put pillow and sleep. That's dumb. But works for you, fine. Your pastor is in episode. He don't look at my Bible. Come on, look at my Bible. I'm done.
Apostles are not in any of those things. You see. He's up there in heaven. So you can't touch. You can't touch me. I mean, you see, it is his, the Father and the Son settled all your matter because they believe in you. Before God sent his Son to die for you, he knew of all your faults, all your mistakes, all your challenges, all your mess ups. And then he says, "Oh, I believe that she'll come out. I believe she has a great future. This is what I designed." The devil wants to try to mess everything up for her. Say, "But I believe, I bet on you." So, Jesus, go for them. Prepare the way for them. So that anyone that believes will walk in that path. But here we are, standing, disqualifying ourselves. Here we are before a giant. Instead of looking to Jesus, we are looking at the giant. Instead of looking to Jesus, we are saying the giant is too much. You see? So we face obstacles in our lives. We face challenges in our lives. And the Lord is not bothered. He's not afraid for us. He allows them. He doesn't do them, but he allows them. He leaves us in this place where the devil runs to and fro. He says, "Stay there. Say, you can be here. I leave you here on this earth because I know that my gene is in you now. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world." So there's nothing the devil can throw against you that is bigger than you. There's nothing. Nothing you are going through today. Nothing you're going through today is bigger than you. Nothing. So you come out and you look at a giant. The issues in your life, the place you are, finances, it could be, you see, let me do this. Let me just do it now. Then we'll just ride on and finish. I brought my sweet baby to church and to give them to God, and so we'll do that and then we can go home. You see, the story of Job is another place where the church has just turned the whole thing upside down. The story of Job, the book of Job, is a book of God's faith in a man. Man, I mean, that's powerful. Just that line, that's what I just said just now. It's powerful. That book is a book of God's faith in man. That's what the book is about. This book is a book about God believing in a man. It says, "Have you seen my servant Job?" "Have you seen my servant Job?" I guess you missed the guy. Say, "That guy is there. You know, great guy. Cool dude. Stuff. Loaded here, loaded there, stuff, you know, school. That's great." And then I said, nah, it's a lie. See, so this is the story. You see, Job is not in the picture at all. And then the church has a way, and they had a way of making it look as if Job is in the picture somehow. Job is not in the picture. I've told you sometimes, this whole thing is not about you. You've heard me say that before. You're not in the picture. And Job is not in the picture. So Job is doing his own thing. God is somewhere saying, "Job is just too much. I believe in that guy. Say, that guy's a great guy. That guy's a cool dude." And then I say, "Nah, it's not cool. Actually, it's because of, you know, you gave him stuff here, It's loaded on this side. No prosperous guy." He says, "You think that's why?" I mean, his heart inside of him is steadfast. He said, "All right, take all his stuff. You see, I'll show you something." That book, that's what you're reading there. And so, devil takes all the stuff. Then he goes around, does all his own stuff. And then, Job is still standing. His wife says, "Curse God and die." He said, "Nah, don't do those nonsense." He said, I stay with him. Even though he slay me, I trust him. I don't see the whole picture. But I know he's betting on me to stand here. So I'm going to wait for him. So he stays. Then he says, "You see, he's still cool." They said, "Nah, do not touch his body. Skin for skin. Take out. You not touch. See, let him sickness hold him. It's all right." He said, "Go, do him. Do whatever." Then you can't kill him, but just I want to show you that I'm not afraid. He didn't say, "Not touch him. Leave him. You know what you do when you want to lie?" He said,
I know you are thinking, he will not do it, I know. And tell him, I will not take it, leave him.
No. He said, take it. He said, you see. Talaba. Go read the book. Read it with another eye. Not Job talk any eye. That's why I have seen any eye. You just talking stuff. So the children of Israel did any eye. That's why giants were in the land. No. Stuff happens. He's not afraid for you. He allows the stuff come. He said, come, no problem. Come, do your worst. That's the book of Job. Stuff is happening in the life of a believer. Instead of other believers to stand up and support in faith and to declare and share faith and say, you can do it, they say, something is wrong. Three stupid friends came. I think, there are many teachings I can do for you. You know, there are three stupid friends, one reasonable one. There are four of them that came. The youngest one has some sense. The other three said, it's a lie. You, something's wrong, some way. Because there's a giant in front of you. As far as there's a giant, it means that so at the end of the book, it says you are going to die. All three of you will die. He said, because you not said anything right about me. I'm telling you, read the book. Three stupid friends came. You got some stupid pastors. Read that there. They're the guy. They call scriptures. There is, you see, is you. You see, if you don't, if when you talk, your voice, come on. Job didn't say anything. Did he not re-talk? No, if you have a theory in scriptures, if you have a teaching, it has to follow. Then he has to not start saying another thing. He didn't say anything. He didn't really say anything. So, the book of Job tells us that God believes in the man. And he's not afraid. He doesn't hide the man. He doesn't say, don't touch him, don't touch him. He says, touch him. And it's so beautiful when you look at the book of Job and you find that it is encapsulated in the old covenant. But for us, we have the life and nature of God, Zoe, inside of us. If he was not afraid for Job, I tell you, he's not afraid for you. You are much more stronger than Job. If Job could take all that stuff, you can take worse and still say, I love you, Jesus. You are free. So, Job goes all the way. Job goes all the way. Now, the book of Job is a book of faith that should strengthen us. So, the question to you now, was God correct? Come on. Was God correct? That's simple. That's the whole book. So at the end of the book, we see Job flourish again. Flourish again. All right, say, God was correct. Example. You see, God was correct. And he's correct also in your matter too. When the Lord set the children of Israel free from bondage in Egypt, took them through the wilderness, he said, I'm going to give you this land. When the children of Israel got to the land, they sent spies close to the land, they sent spies into the land. They came back and said, there are giants in the land. You see, I want to just touch something else before I go. He said, there are giants in the land. But he already saw the giants in the land. He knew the giants were there. He believed that they could go and conquer and take the land. So he bet on them. They bet against themselves and said, they are giants. We are like grasshoppers. You see? And they'll defeat us. Come on. But God said, you will defeat them. I believe in you. And Caleb said, we are well able to overcome the land. Well able. The ability doesn't come from us. The ability comes from God. Because he believes in us, then we can do it. Come on. Just like the book of Job. Just like Job. He believes in you. So you can do it. You say, Pastor, I got giants in front of me. Caleb later said, I want to say this so that I can go to the next point here. Caleb later said,
He said, they are bread for us. He said, their defenses have left them.
Now, can I now begin to show you another story? You see, I'm just showing you stories. There's no point to turn. You know this thing. I just want to release your faith. Another story. It's the story of David and Goliath. So, David goes before Goliath and he defeats Goliath. We know that part. But there is another part that I want to show you. I want to make a point for you. That the things you are going through is like school for you. It's like bread for you. Whatever you're dealing with now, finances, relationship, business, anything that seems to upset you on your path to destiny, something you want to get this stuff, it's not just there for you to get, you just reach it and get it. And you feel it's bad, something's wrong. And that's the problem. The church says something's wrong. Nothing is wrong. See, it's supposed to be smooth. That's a lie. The church has bought into a lie. It ought to be smooth. That's a lie. Are you here? It was never smooth. Never. There's no place you have it smooth. No place. Not here. Jesus was born and it wasn't even smooth. He couldn't even get a room to be born in. It was not smooth. So immediately you face battles, you start rejecting. Immediately you face an issue in your life. Instead of you to man up and say, this is bread for me. Alright. I'm preaching better than you're responding. But I'm going to keep preaching. Maybe I'm talking to the people who are online. Maybe I'm talking to the people who listen to this message a year from now. But if you're here, I beg you, please hear what I'm saying. It was not smooth for anybody. There's no way. In fact, I'm afraid when it's too smooth. Something is wrong. I'm telling you. Too smooth. Something's wrong. The only way it's like that is when you cut corners and make it work. That's the only way it's like that. I'm telling you. Are you here? So, David, now I'll tell you David's story. Because you know the Goliath story. Let me tell you a story. David was on his own, doing his own thing. No, he's doing a good guy. David goes to the field, gets the sheep out from the store, takes them out, and they're feeding. Then a lion comes. And then the lion actually gets a sheep. Takes one. David went after it, he said. And killed the lion. He said, deliver the sheep from his mouth. Yeah. While David was doing that, you were thinking his village people were against him. This must be David's village people. Can you imagine? Lion attacked him. Me, lion did not attack my own. Me, I just go in and come out. No lion attack. He said, when lion is attacking you, you are not praying. This is a lack of prayer. That's your church. Around you. Not this one. So David went down. He did lion. No problem. He said, well, thank God for him, isn't that? Then, bear came. He must have done something wrong. It's the sin that he has committed. If he didn't do bad things, why is it that only him, lion and bear, after lion ate to finish, bear now still came. Only him. Come on. So they had their meeting and said, something's wrong. It's bad. And so, he does lion, he does bear. What they did not know was that God was giving David bread. They didn't know that. Because Caleb told us, these giants are bread for us. So when he defeated the lion, he ate bread. He defeated the bear, he got some bread. Thick bread. When he saw Goliath, he said, this guy is going down. You see? So you say, Pastor, I have challenges in my life right now. There are things that are not just so smooth. They are bread for you. And I prophesy to you, you might not be quick to shut up. Slow down. Slow down. There are bigger giants in front of you. Come on. Did somebody say amen to that? I have a good church now.
Know why I say that? There was a time in our ministry we were trying to raise 35,000 naira to buy a keyboard. The challenges I have right now in ministry is in millions. I don't discuss things in 10,000 naira. I don't. You say it's 10,000 naira, we don't remember. In short, my pastors annoyed me yesterday. They were doing something yesterday. They wanted to pay some money to somebody for no good reason. And I was very angry. And they said, and the reason why they agreed to do it is because the money is small. I said, for why not now? You see, it's small. But there was a time when 35,000 naira was a big deal. Come on. Are you still here? The bread is getting bigger and bigger. Come on. Come on. The bread is getting bigger and bigger. So it's not a bad thing when you see a bigger bread in front of you. Nothing wrong. We can buy a keyboard for all our churches tomorrow morning without discussing it with anybody. Tomorrow morning, I'll just say, go and buy a keyboard for all the churches. New one, you're buying, throw all these ones and we buy another one. We won't discuss. We are past that stage. But now the bread in front of me is acquiring a land in Ugbo. They are calling millions for me. And I'm saying, oh my God. And I'm saying, oh my God. The way I'm saying, oh my God now, is the same way I'm saying, oh my God, 5 years ago. Guess what? One time we'll set up a church in Ghana. And I'll be, oh my God. I'll be, oh my God. Because they're going to say, produce these things. We have to register with the government over there. It's going to be, oh my God. And then guess what? A dear man of God is in Manchester right now, UK. How to get there just now? And we say, we're starting up a church over there. And he says, costing us in pounds. They're not going to say naira. We don't do naira. It's going to cost us in pounds to rent a venue. Euro. And we're going to do it. And guess what then? I'm still going to be saying, oh my God. If you don't have any oh my God in front of you, come on. Don't have any oh my God in front of you, something's wrong. I keep having in front of me. Are you still in church? So, David was going through all those things so that he could face Goliath. People that never fought lion and bear, when they saw Goliath, they fainted. Come on. Alright, can I preach to you? You have to do primary 1, primary 2, primary 3 before you write common entrance. If we take you straight for common entrance, you'll be shaking. Do you see why they were shaking now? Oh, I'm preaching. I'm preaching better than you're responding. See why they were shaking now? They've never faced anything in their lives. Never. They've never needed money and cried and prayed. Never. You see, me, I always have. Something's wrong when you're always there. You always have there. It means something is wrong. Me, nobody ever broke my heart. I'm going to be doing your counseling very soon after marriage. Pastor, I didn't know. Because when they break your heart and you mend the heart and you eat some bread, then you meet the guy that talks smooth. You say, you can't talk smooth to me, guy. Been there. Nobody even break man. Break heart. The pieces, but they took grinding stone and grinded the heart smooth. Finished. That's how it is, man. Then God, by his power, fixed it up together. And here I am standing before you today. Stronger than I ever was. Job got times two of what he had. He was bigger than he was before the challenge and before the trials. So when you see trials in front of you, they are bread for you. Eat all this small bread so I can eat the big bread. Because if you don't eat all this small bread, when the big bread comes, you will run. But when the boys who are eating all those small bread just now, when we see big bread, guess what? We jump at it. And at the end of the day, David became king's in-law because of Goliath. David got some more money because of Goliath. All these small challenges right now, overcome them. I beg you now. I am preaching to you now. Just this is me, your pastor, loving you and telling you, please, face all these challenges now. Because the bigger challenge, the bigger the opportunity. I said the bigger the challenge, the bigger the opportunity. So if you don't take all these small ones, when those big ones come, you will just leave it. Guess who will step into those ones? People like us. Woo! He says, bring it. Can you get it? He said, we'll get it. God has saved me through renting this property. He has saved me when I came from Mokosodi down to this place, and I paid over $1 million there. Now, we're not talking about $1 million. $1 million is not a business. Now, $1 million is not the problem now. You see now. When we left Mokosodi and started the church in town, we spent about $1 million. We are the big boys. We just spent about... we're not talking about... That's the land, not the building the thing. I don't know if you're here. You see. So, you're getting bigger and bigger. From one challenge to the other. From one obstacle to the other. And you don't know it's making you stronger. And so, those believers are always cower. Always hiding. You don't face any challenge. They now begin to wonder. You must be using something. Boy, I ain't using nothing. I just go from one obstacle to the other. Just face one hurdle, finish it, defeat it, and go to the next one. They just keep piling up like that. They are not going to run. So they've been running all their lives. All the obstacles that God has allowed to come, they've used Ojoro to pass. Yes, and you know what I'm talking about. Hello, Uncle, please now. Let's come and pray in church. You won't come and pray because you beg Uncle. No problem. When a big challenge comes, Uncle won't be there. You see. He can't help you now. And so people cower and people fail when Goliath showed up. And when you have a big challenge, you see, you get a big victory. So, wake up. Challenges are bred for you. He allows them come because he believes in you. He wants you to defeat. You can't become heavyweight champion without fighting some fellows. In fact, I know the rules. I think I know the rules says after 2 years, if you don't fight, you forfeit the belt. They can't come and challenge you. Say, I'm heavyweight champion. I challenge you to fight. Say, I'm not interested in fighting you. All right. Somebody has come. I challenge you to fight. Say, I can't fight you. 3 years, I'm heavyweight champion. Guy, they will just come and take the belt from me. Like that. Yeah. You can't hold on to it without fighting nobody. It's 2 years, I think I remember. 2 years. If you don't take a challenge in 2 years, it means you are not willing to hold that belt. Because if you must hold that belt, you must go fight somebody. You defeat the person, you come back again. 2 years, start counting again. I just finished 2 years. You say, no challenge. Come on, somebody say, I've been free for 2 years. No issues, just been rolling there. Then if nobody comes to challenge you, please go and find one. I tell you now, if nobody comes, if you don't have no challenge in front of you, it means you are living below what God's plan for your life. I say, if you don't have a challenge in front of you, it means you are living below God's plan for your life. He wants you to always have something in front of you so his power can be made manifest in your life. You have a Goliath, then he shows up. Apostle Paul says, I glory in infirmities, that the power of God may rest upon me. Are you still here? He believes in you. Those challenges you face, they are bred for you. They only make you stronger. They make you stronger. He says, go. When he says, go, overcome, win. There's nothing in front of you that you can handle. There's nothing. He's making intercession for you right now. So if you feel he's bigger than you, you are correct. He's praying for you. He says, go on. He's cheering you up right now. Angels are all around. Paul is there. Paul said, man, I did this stuff. Do it. You can do it. We've gone through stuff. Every one of us, I also told you this last week, different challenges. David fought battle, Solomon didn't fight. Solomon's battle was a different one. Pastor Jesus said, I want Solomon's soul. Solomon had money. He didn't need to fight anybody, but he had some other women around him. Woo, that's a bad battle, man. I choose to fight. I don't like that one. So do you like that one? Man? He had women around, strange women. When he got gold, he got women. Yeah, but say silver, they didn't count silver. You're only counting gold. And he said, that's good, I like that one. Well, are you ready with the women around? They turned his heart away from the Lord. Some people face battles and the challenges make their heart turn away and say, I face all these battles and I turn away from the Lord. Abi. No, Solomon only did fight battle. He was in his house chopping money and his heart was turning away from the Lord. Come on. I had to fight Goliath and fail and say, where is God? Where is God? And be angry and do like this. Then, I'm in Solomon's house eating money and saying, where is God? There's no God. There's no God. I'm like, that guy is worse. He says there's no God at the end of the day. It took the end of his life for God to restore him. I mean, with all the money, he said there was no God. So everything is useless. Just leave. I told my wife sometime, we were discussing Solomon. I said, you don't want to be Solomon. I said, see, you don't understand. You will say, I like Solomon. No, you don't want to be Solomon. Solomon will come and say, break this wall, eh? Then did like this. Eh? You say, it will cost you $3 million. I say, do it. Walk away. Once you come, you say, oh, you didn't bend it well. Break it. Make it a little higher than this. It will cost you money. Say, $5 million. You say, do it. Walk away. You say, come again. This is the problem I have with you. You are not bending this thing well. That's a frustrated life. That is very frustrated. You can't get anything. Probably can't get anything done. Imagine you can buy anything. You've not thought about it. You have to calm down. Go home. Think about it. I can buy this. I can buy it. You run crazy. Nothing will satisfy you again. Nothing. You don't buy it. And when you get home, you're not like, that is nonsense I just bought. Say, go to market. Buy another one. Buy the blue one. Oh, I think this took a... Take, I dash you this one. You, I dash you this one. Go, buy another one. You'll be frustrated. Some of you are saying, no, I will not. Don't worry. Ask Solomon. I planted gardens. He sang songs. He wrote songs. He married wives, had concubines. It's nonsense. Nothing. But if you have 20,000 naira, and you go to markets, you cook finished, you cook soup, say this soup is delicious. That's all your money. You don't have money. So come on. Solomon faced a particular challenge. It's a challenge. I just travel abroad. My dear brothers and sisters, there's a problem there. It's just different. Because there, no pastor will be calling you and saying your village people are after you. Your village people will not be after you, but you will not have chance for your village people too. I'm telling you. It's a different kind of challenge. Why God trusted Daniel with lions then? Like me now, me. If he said me, my time, my destiny with lions then, I would deny him. I didn't know you. Never Jesus. Who is Jesus? Is it Chingon Biscuit or Granot? Is it a name of Jesus? Me, lions then. Am I crazy? I like this altar where I'm preaching now. You see. But it says, Daniel, say you can deal with lions then. Say, Dr. L, no den for you. You just preach to some difficult people in church. You guys are so difficult. I think if you get Daniel to come and preach, Daniel will say, all this message I'm preaching, Daniel will say, I choose lion's den. But Daniel, lion's den will be easier than preaching to you. Come on. So you're angry with me now. I'm not telling you the truth. I think, look at Moses. Moses says, stiff neck people. Stiff neck. He said, oh, what will I do? He can't stick. Yeah, go, go. He said, hey, the people made me error. People. If you ask Daniel, choose between them or all these Israelites. Daniel will say, put me in lion's den. Far better. But we are all designed for the obstacle in front of us. I was born for this very moment. I was fabricated for this year. I was designed for this generation. So it will be tough, but I'll face it. I can't do their stuff. They can't do my stuff. I can't live your life. If you think my life is easier to live, if you live it for 1 week, you run away. You see, you can't live it for 1 day. And I don't think your life is any easier. I don't think it's any easier. I believe we all have to live by faith. We all have to live by faith. Are you still here? We all have to live by faith. By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You have to live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Don't think mine is any easier because you say, you are enjoying now. No. It's a battle still. So you take your battles, you overcome them. One battle after the other. One lion after the other. There. God might add tiger to your own too. And if you are afraid of cockroach, you might have cockroach too. You just add cockroach to make it spicy sweet. The lion, I don't have a problem with lion. I can tackle lion. Say me, bear, we fight the bear. But you see me, when cockroach start running around the house, I'm standing somewhere shaking. God will say, okay, lion, you don't give him lion. Don't give him bear. Give him cockroach. There's no one that's easier. You were designed for your life. He allowed you to come like that. When he brought us here to this very nation, this very country, he believed we'll make it in this country. He believed we'll flourish. Come on. No, please don't mistake me. I don't have a problem. If you just take that stand and I say, he said we're going to travel. No, travel all you can. Well, you should if you want to, if you like to. But I'm just trying to tell you that God didn't make mistake. You are not designed and brought here, born in your family by error. There's no error. All you need is faith. Come on. All you need is faith. There's no error in your life. The things that they've gone through, things that happened in your life, they don't happen by error. He saw them. He saw you and said, let it go. Let it go. So you're going to see she's going to win. All you need to do now is stand up and win. Because he believes you will win. Somebody blessed today? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I want us today, and like when I just end up, I will go, and then you go. I want us to bow our heads today. I want us to pray. We're going to pray. Come on. Bow your heads. And pray. Wherever you are right now, you could be in your room just listening to this service, this message. Bow your heads and pray. Lord, I believe in your belief. I believe in your faith in me. I can overcome. I can overcome this challenge and this difficulty. You can name it, whatever it is. This challenge and this difficulty, I know now, by your faith I can overcome. Will you pray? Just begin to talk. You might not shout, just pray. Just pray, Lord, I believe I can overcome this challenge. Come on. It's okay what you are going through. It's okay. Just overcome. It's okay. Say, Lord, I believe in your faith in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can deal with this. Come on. Say, I can deal with this. I can deal with this. This is bread for me. Come on. This is bread for me. I test it. If you like to say it like that. I test this one too. Come on. Come on. Come on, I want you to pray. Oh, I overcome this one too. Say, this is bread for me. This is bread for me. This lion is nothing. The bear is nothing. I overcome. Because you believe. You said, I can do it. I say, I can do it too. I can do it. Jesus, I thank you. You make intercession for me. Dr. Real believes in you. I believe in you. The Lord has sent me to you. And the Lord has sent me to tell you that you can do it. He sent me to tell you that you can overcome. He sent me today, this Sunday morning, to tell you you are the victor. He sent me to tell you that you have won already. He sent me to tell you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He sent me to tell you that there's nothing for you to be afraid of. He said there's nothing for you to be afraid of. So I want you to say today, Lord, I believe I'm a winner. I've overcome them. I want you to rejoice in your God who believes in you. Sanamakata. Ruana Mayanoso. Come on. You are coming out bigger. You are coming out stronger. Yes. Yes, that is bread for you. Yes, refuse to fear. Refuse to fear. You might want to stand on your feet. You might want to stand up and pray. You might want to stand up and shout. And say, yeah, I can do it. You might want to shout. You might want to pray somehow. That giant is for you. Bread for me. Come on. Lift your hands.
Come on. Bread for me. Bread for me. And you have been hiding things. And you have been shaking things. And you have been thinking you are the underdog. And that you cannot win. You have been saying, I can't win. But now you know. You are victorious. Why have you been hiding? Come out. Let your light shine. Win. Put the devil to shame. Come on. Put the devil to shame. Son of Miles. Defeat that giant. Kill that lion. Come on. Financial lion. Whatever it is, believe your God. Use your faith. Stand to your feet. Shout as a victor. The devil is a liar. Casala Mayanos. Anyhow. Come on. That challenge is bread for you. It's bread for you. I'm a winner in the name of Jesus. I've got Jesus in my corner. Come on, I've got Jesus in my corner. He's making intercession for me. Jesus is making intercession for me. Because he believes in me. The victory you see in my life. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm victorious in Christ. Rababababaya. Come on, I want you to pray today. You are going back different. You are going back stronger. You are going back bolder. Boldness. Come on. Hallelujah. You see, the lion, the mountain, the giant are before you. I want those obstacles to see you when you leave this place just now. And to look at your eyes and say, this is not the same guy we have been fighting. When they see you coming, that Bible says, please run towards Goliath. Now you are going to charge. You are going to run. Yeah! Kalabaya! Come on. Let the devil run now. It's his turn to run. It's his own time to cower. Pastor, I've been fighting this battle for the past 2 years. I say it's time to cower. Stand up in faith and stand on your ground. The battle in front of me is mine to overcome. And so I overcome. Sarah Mahalaba. Come on. Give God praise in the house.